And now, the Conrad and Jack Show presents Monday Morning Papers.
Please buy the paper from me so I can get me something to read.
Just a paper boy. A paper is everything I'm not.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Gather round everybody. I'm gonna tell you a story.
But I used to be a paper boy, and it was great, you know.
Hey, bud, you're here early.
If I don't catch Coyote by tomorrow, I'm going to be out of work.
Eh, being unemployed ain't so bad. All you got to do is walk into an office, pretend to be a janitor, and start stealing stuff.
Buckwald, you mind telling me who propped up a box with a stick, a taco under it out there?
Oh, I did. That's how I'll catch El Coyote. It's the same trap I used to catch Saddam Hussein.
That was a squirrel. You only named it Saddam Hussein after you caught it.
Still counts. I also shot Hitler out of a tree with a BB gun.
I look forward to Erickson firing your ass once he sees that ridiculous thing.
Hey! Get away from there! That's not for you, Ernesto!
Hola, bud. It's a taco.
Yeah, it's a taco, but it's not for you. Leave it alone.
It's your taco?
No! Just leave the taco alone!
You want this taco?
No, damn it. I don't want the taco. Leave it alone.
You want I should clean it?
No. Just leave the taco on the ground. Get the hell away from it.
But it will get sandy.
Just leave the damn taco. It's not for you.
Okay.
Oh, damn it. When did those people learn to fly?
What's up, everybody? Happy Monday morning. Well, morning, not used loosely. Welcome to Monday Morning Papers. I'm your host, Casey. Tonight, I'm going to be trying the solo act. It's finally happened. After years of trying, doing my best, pushing everybody in my life farther and farther and farther away, it's finally happened. Everybody's left me. I reached high and low. At about 4:50, as I'm getting ready to leave work, I asked Conrad, you coming down today? No. I got wrestling. I said, I kind of thought wrestling was over. It was kind of the end of the year tournament, but that was for the newbies. Apparently, if you are a champion or dominating like Little Man is, you keep going. And plus, I think bigger than that is Conrad's not done coaching yet. I think, you know, he made fun of me for a lot of years, and I think he finally got the bug. That kind of leads a little bit into my weekend, dealing with coaching. But first off, so then Conrad didn't come. Then I reached out. Right as I'm getting ready to leave work to Skin Man, said Monday Papers. He said, can't be there. I text really the other two people I know, my son and my wife. My wife was going to be out of town. I knew that already. I just wanted to hear no from somebody else. Asked the boy, said, hey, I'm coming home. Going to be flying solo for the show tonight. Do you want to join? He said, no. Here's a little bit about my son. He's 13, going to be 14 beginning of March. He's interested in little to nothing that I'm into except for video games. And even then, he's not interested in really anything to me having to do with them. He's kind of over me. Went through that phase, you know, from, I don't know, 2 to 10, 11, maybe even 12 somewhere, where he was my little man. Now we're kind of in that phase where, I mean, we're still buddies, but he really just, I'm an old dude, I'm an adult, I'm not cool to him. So he don't want nothing to do with me. So he turned me down, got on. I asked, the only celebrity I know is Tom Crabtree, and I don't even really know him. I tell people I know him, but I've Twitter talked to him a couple times, and he likes some stuff that I did. So I consider me and Tom friends. I do have some, I mean, obviously, famous Twitter fans, blah, 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 as far as my man Steve in Cali, Chris in PA, Jim Polson. We got a bunch of the old D&M fans that I'm starting to, let's say, kindle a budding friendship with via the Twitter, the Facebook, through the Conrad and Jack Show. Obviously, nothing to do with me, only to do with the Conrad and Jack Show. So everybody turned me down. As I was leaving, I told Conrad, hey, if I can't find nobody, I don't know if I'll do it. I'm scared. You know, I've only been doing this stuff just a little over a year. I did Casey's Playtime for a little bit. One, I couldn't do, because of the music, I couldn't put it on YouTube or anywhere or anything. So that was kind of one. Two, just time, and I was kind of developing another show and all of that. So I haven't done it for a while. But even then, it's filled with a lot of music, which you may find tonight as I get going. I may try to find sound clips for anything I can. I may just have some random music playing. We may do dance. The only way you're listening is on the download of this episode. Normally we do live on Facebook, on the Monday Morning Papers Facebook feed, or we'll do live on Mixlr, on the Falcon. That's mixlr.com/FalconFM. But again, I kind of decided, hey, if I'm going to go solo, I'm going to tape the show. I'm going to record it like the pros do. I'm going to go back. I'm going to edit. I'm not going to edit. I'm just going to see if I make it through without screwing up. And then if you're hearing this, you know I did enough to, or did good enough to release this show and get it out there. What is Monday Papers? Well, it's a, I don't know, it's the greatest Monday show probably in podcasting history, developed by my man Conrad and Mexico to gain some rhythm together. Taken over by me and Conrad to develop some rhythm together. Kind of taken over by me and Skin Man a little bit here lately, me and Conrad. My first episode of Monday Papers to miss, I believe, besides maybe one solo one that happened in the early days since I joined, was last week. One of my favorite shows. I've kind of decided when I listened back to it that I probably should quit and just let Skin Man and Conrad do the show. But due to, I think what's happening, but since neither one of them could be here tonight, they said, no, it's your show, man. You should do it. You should do it. I think it's just them, you know, trying to fill, you know, guest hosts. So no celebrity guest host tonight. I'm sitting in the studio putting together some news for you. We go to MSN homepage, and there's a scrolling banner up top of stories. They say everybody cares about, I say most people don't care about, but it's tailored to you. If you've searched certain things on the internet, weed whackers or brawls or hot sauces or vodkas, most likely you're going to be scrolling across, some ads are going to come across for some hot sauce or maybe some hot vodka or, you know, something of that nature, a weed whacker that you can use that has a vodka holder on it or something like that. We try to stick to the premise of MSN when it's me and Conrad. When Skin Man comes to I think we kind of break the rules. We just try to find funny stories and do a show that way. When I'm here alone, I'm gonna do a show. So this weekend was kind of one of those weekends where you step back and I'm a big news guy, what's going on. I've kind of got a, you know, the feed is set up on my phone to let me know what's going on at every minute. I watch either current events like sports, news. Funny enough, if I do, I like history stuff, but I haven't been watching a lot of that. It's all been current events. It's what's going on now. I'm so afraid to be left behind. Like something big's going to happen and I'm not going to hear about it. Well, lately I've been tired of that. This weekend, and I think me and Skin Man talked about it a couple episodes ago, where I kind of had been living this medium alternate reality where through my video gaming, I check out a couple hours a night. Don't mess with the phone. Don't do none of that. You're just kind of in your own world. Starts to take over a little bit. In the search for that this weekend, I decided wasn't really going to, besides my Shockers played, I wasn't going to watch really anything live. Football's over. I didn't care a lot about what was going on this weekend, which makes it easier to check out. And then just through circumstances, it kind of happened. Got up Saturday. Conrad's not the only coach involved with this program, the Monday Papers or the Conrad and Jack Show. I used to do quite a bit of coaching back in the day, and one of my students or former players who I still stay in contact with had reached out and said, hey, you know, just kind of given me a score of their game. He always gives me updates, talks, you know, basketball with me. Just, I think his parents aren't real big with sports, so he needs somebody to outlet to. So anyways, you know, good job, you know, blah, blah, blah. He said, hey, we play a game tomorrow. And I said, sweet. Well, Saturday game, I'll get Isaac, my son, friends with him, and we'll come out and watch you play. And he said, oh, it's in Hutch. Well, that's about an hour away from here. So that kind of changed the plan, but I'd already kind of committed thinking it was going to be a local, a little bit closer game. We reached out to another former player that played on a team with us, which is friends with this group. You want to go with us? Yeah. So we take the cruise out, watch basketball, hour drive out, hour game, hour drive back. All the kids come over. We decide, because I'm a sports nerd, or a game nerd too, we're going to play a 2K19 basketball tournament. There's four of us. You know, we're going to play 2-on-2. Losers play for third and fourth. Winners play for first and second, basically. Did that. I got into the first and second game, got a crappy team. We were doing some random team thing. Lost that. And then just kind of from then on, left, didn't watch no TV until the Shockers game. Came home, watched the Shockers game. After that, played some more video game. And then I got into the Hulu world. And that's where kind of so Saturday, I guess, was basketball, both real and fake, filled with Shockers, high school basketball, and 2K, you know, basketball. Saturday night and Sunday, I got into the Hulu world. Conrad Mee's big thing is he's real big into the TV series, the shows, all kinds of different shows. I don't really do that because if you're like me and you're a current events guy, MSN, CNN, Fox News, whatever your thing is, always has something for you. So as far as it goes, and if you have your phone that you mess with all the time, you can pretty much turn it on one of those channels. I wouldn't even say it's new news because they just repeat the same thing and over, but it's a new show. So you've got that and your phone going. So I don't really get deep into a lot of the shows. So I've been trying. Starting a couple of months back, I did caught up on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I think I've talked about that on here. Then I went to a couple other shows. Then I did Curb Your Enthusiasm. These are just getting me warmed up. Shows I've watched in the past, but maybe didn't finish the last season of, or just kind of catching up. And also, get me back into TV. I need to get into stuff I know I like so I can get trained again. So then I stumbled across, I love the, you know, cartoons. I do the Bob's Burgers with Conrad. I old school Simpson guy, Family Guy, love American Dad. Got into Futurama a little bit, not deep like the cult Futurama guys. But all those shows that are cartoons based toward adults, I enjoy. Stumbled across a little show called Border Town. I'm not going to go way too deep into it because I'm, you know, I don't want you to miss out on my podcast. It's all Border Town all the time. But this particular show, and if you go to search it, look for the cartoon. There's a lot of, there's movies, series, there's a thing with J-Lo, Border Town. So this is a Fox anime comedy show. It's from 2016, and I say it's extremely relevant because of all the wall stuff. I think it more just tells you to tell, it more tells you how long this nonsense has been dominating both, and I don't even really want to say, because I don't think with my friends or my family or stuff, other than the jokes about it, I don't think it dominates our conversation, but it definitely dominates politics currently and obviously over the last 2.5 or 3 years. But this particular show is centered on a town that is right on the basically Mexican-California border. It's a basically a funny show about a border agent that hates Mexicans, but his best friend is one. So it's kind of one of those things. It's a show for everybody. It's a show that makes fun of left and right, but also gives left and right. When I say left, I kind of say Democrat and Republican, also extreme left or right. I don't think you can make either one of them happy, but somewhere in there, it makes fun of everybody. It kind of jabs at points that are obvious ones that we all get. It's written, obviously, by an intelligent, decent, centered person with a pretty fucked up imagination. Because it's hilarious, it definitely is extremely edgy, perfect for Conrad and Jack show viewers. Extreme racist, not really racist stuff, like obvious thing, the point outs that people, I don't know, that people are attacking about race right now or trying to say they're not. Oh, I don't have no problem with Mexicans. I just hate illegals and everybody that looks like them. And I mean, I'm fine with them if they're hardworking and paying taxes, as long as they're not in my country and taking my job. But I'm really just mad because they're doing better than I am. And I'm working hard. And I mean, they are too, but no. So it jabs at that. So anyways, I don't want to go too far into that. That was just kind of my my weekend. So I watched the entire season of that yesterday, which is Sunday. 13 episodes, average a 30-minute episode a break. Obviously, with my other alternate reality basketball on 2K19, I dibbled and dabbled out of that, played a couple games, took up my full day, no news, no anything that came across on my phone that wasn't somewhat sports related, and it really wasn't even scores. I didn't pay attention to trades, which, of course, basketball trades are over. Football's pretty quiet. So I just, again, stayed away from everything, caught up today. So that makes this a harder show because I didn't do no Grammys. I didn't do none of that. But it was a nice checkout from reality. So I may visit that again. Leads me into, where I was going for a minute was other TV shows. So I'm trying to find other shows. That was another one I got into. If you have any suggestions, KCGUN13 on Twitter. You know me on Facebook. Monday Morning Papers on Facebook. Give me some suggestions. Me and Conrad, he's got a bunch for me. Billions, Ray Donovan, Sneaky Pete. I've downloaded Goliath today. Started doing rewatching Eastbound and Down. So I pick all the easy ones because comedies, I really am into comedy, but I'm thinking about picking up some serious shows. So I'm going to start checking out of the news because I'm tired of it. Get into some shows. Help me out. Brings me to my next thing. Have you ever had a favorite show that ends? You know, you get into, I don't know, whatever it is. you know, Walking Dead, which it hasn't ended yet, but it will. But all the, you know, Breaking Bad and all those shows that came along and then ended, Sopranos, and just all those Six Feet Under and all the some great shows that came along and ended. You grew to fall in love with the main characters, the people that have come and gone, even maybe lesser known, the mom of a somebody that only is in every couple episodes, and then they're gone from you. It's like a, you know, you grow to love them. That happened to me in one day with Border Town yesterday. Right now, my favorite show. I grew to love them. You know, I thought I downloaded this show and thinking, you know, 13 episodes, that'll, you know, be a good Sunday. Didn't do any research into this show. I didn't want to know anybody's opinion. I just wanted to watch the first episode and then go from there. Got hooked, started going. And what I thought was, I'm going to do season one, and then I'm going to start on lunch doing season two and three and four and so on, you know, as long as this show goes. Come to find out, season one ends it. Now, you can look at that two ways. You can say what Rotten Tomatoes says or some of the others say, not a good show. Or you can say maybe niche, maybe somebody picks it up. A lot of the best shows kind of had a run, took a time off. People found them because maybe they weren't in the right slot. They didn't get pushed, got picked up by Netflix, whatever, and then they get picked up. So I'm hoping it makes another run. Or you could say maybe it was a bad show, and Casey, you're into bad TV. All those things are fine with me. I don't care, but I'm praying they bring it back. So it just, again, I fell in love with the show thinking I'm going to get on this wagon like I did, just got off of with Mr. Beautiful Larry David, or like I did with the cast from Patty's Pub, or like in the past I've done with, you know, many of my other shows, Sons of Anarchy, or, you know, what I did with Big Pussy and The Sopranos. No, I take a one-day ride that leads to rewatching again because I kind of fell asleep during the last episode. I watched the end of it but missed some stuff, kept rewinding it last night, late thing. So I'm going to rewatch it after the show, but it leaves you wanting more, especially if you invested as much as I did. So that was my thing. Catching up on TV, CBD shops are coming into malls. I was scrolling through stories on MSN, and I found that interesting, but both kind of expected as well. They're everywhere. I mean, CBDs, they write this like this is a big story. I went to my gas station where I go get my energy drink and my donuts, my crunchy donut fetish, or where I go get some pistachios when I forget to bring them or whatever. I got a little privately owned gas station down the road. They sell CBDs, bongs, all kind of stuff. So none of this is surprising to me. Sorry, water, tobacco pipes. The biggest mall owner in the country is about to open more than 100 shops selling products infused with CBDs, short for cannabinoid oils. I'm not good at these words. Cannabinoid oil. Yeah. Simon Property Group on Monday said it was partnering with Ohio-based cannabis firm Green Grown Brands to open 108 GGB locations this year in Simon's U.S. malls, which include Roosevelt Fields Mall in New York and Galleria Mall in Houston. We are constantly on the look for cutting-edge new concepts, John Rulli, president of Simon Mall, said in a press release. We are committed to adding new and dynamic retailers and use our shopping destinations, and the GGB shopping experience is exactly that type of innovation our customer wants and is expecting from us. So again, a big story about that coming pretty soon. So that's cool. I don't know if that means, like, if you're somewhere where pot's legal, that you're all of a sudden going to get, you know, pot in there too, or if it's only going to be the CBDs. I'm more expert on the other side, the knowledge of the use of the stuff that actually gets you high, not the medicine side. I'm trying to learn because I want to be, one, an expert, because in my state I'm pushing for the legalization of it. And I don't want just my knowledge of it. You know, I want to know the actual good effects of it. So I've been researching a little bit of that. And through Conrad, I've explored the CBDs, some gummies, some of the vapes, some oils. I haven't done any of the rocket ships. If you're a listener of the Conrad and Jack show, you know the CBD rocket ships are a little cone-shaped. I assume it's the size of, like, I don't know, an Ozarka water bottle, because it's Conrad, but that you shove in your yang, and you medically heal through your butt. So they have all kinds of products. So I'm not knowledgeable in them. Going to be more knowledgeable for the future. Because again, I'm pushing for it, and I want to know, you know, both the good, the bad of anything that I'm for or against. Toys R Us is making a comeback. Now, I know what you say. It was just, you know, like a year ago, we were talking about Toys R Us closing all their doors down. I just read a story where they were talking about coming back. I can't find the story now. Where's it at? Maybe I'll get back to it. But there was a story how they're, you know, thinking about coming back online, maybe some smaller stores, stuff like that. I pull for it. I grew up with, you know, Toys R Us. I don't know how really any of those stores can make it anymore with Amazon. I look at the job I do sitting behind a parts counter. I see it quickly going away. I look at most anything that isn't an urgent, convenient need, an energy drink right now, cigarettes, chew, whatever you have to have right now, gas, immediate things. I mean, I think there will always be a need for, like, immediate clothing because, you know, and there will be a certain retail market for a certain time, because you've got an older generation that's not into computers and all that. But that's going away quicker than you think. Because the 40s and the 50s and the 60-year-olds are catching up with technology, and that leaves a smaller base to where 20, 30 years, you know, I think everybody's kind of grown up with technology, internet's in everybody's blood. So then I really worry. We're definitely right now we're going through the downsizing of, you know, retailers, but not the end of them. And Toys R Us is trying to stay in that, I guess, 20 or 30 or 40 year window of maybe reinventing itself. So hopefully for them that actually happens. A little bit of sports news. Go figure. Murray picks football. Sorry if you don't know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Kyler Murray, Oklahoma Sooners. That's kind of a local thing, both because Oklahoma's close to where this store or this show is centered from, because Conrad's a fan, because I'm a sports guy, and because he was the Heisman winner. That kind of touches all bases. This story says Kyler Murray picked football. Now, who is going to pick Kyler Murray? Murray, the Heisman Trophy quarterback from Oklahoma, who was selected in the first round of last year's MLB draft by the Oakland A's, announced his intentions to pursue his NFL football career as a quarterback instead of as a baseball outfielder. That should draw interest from a lot of NFL scouts, I think, who are on the fence. But I think really, if you're watching him, if you've paid attention to him, you weren't really on the fence. I think you knew, especially once he won the Heisman, I think even halfway through the season when he was playing as good as he was and all the hype was about him, that he was going to be a first-round pick. One, not a ton of quarterbacks this year. Two, everybody wants the Heisman, especially if he's a clean kid that can run and throw and hasn't been in trouble. He's good for all of those. But basically it came down to money, everybody's saying. They're saying, you know, he was given like a $4 million contract, a $1.2 million signing bonus. You know, if he's a first rounder, he's guaranteed way more money. I think it comes down to that. And the kid likes football. You know, I think he wanted to leave all his options open. but you can play football for a year or two or three, and if it doesn't work out, I think baseball's there. Going and playing baseball for two or three or 4 years or whatever, and then trying to come back and play football, especially at quarterback, I would say extremely harder. I don't know, because I have not played NFL football, but that's just my, I guess, my take on it. Also in sports news, the Browns, I think this is a great signing. And also, I don't know, I come out on the losing edge of this really no matter how I approach it. So I'm just going to come at it from the sports angle. If I'm a GM, if I'm a coach, if I'm a whatever, Browns signing Kareem Hunt just makes one amazing sense. They got a young guy, Nick Chubb, there. Hunt's young. Abuse. You got a young quarterback. Why not have two guys you can throw the ball to, run the ball to? I mean, I think it's a great, I think one, also you get him cheaper because of all the crap he's going through. There's still punishment that can come forth for him. I think the precedent's set by like the Ezekiel case, because I think, well, I don't even know. I think it's maybe more than that because of the video. I think it's somewhere between the Ezekiel and the Ray Rice. So whether that's banished forever from football or six games or somewhere in between, obviously the difference in the two cases, Ray Rice knocking the chick out, you know, Hunt kicking a girl wise down and throwing people into her and all that. I'm not going to say any of it was good, but in my opinion, in my eyes view, extreme difference in the two situations. Stupid either way, dumb kid. If there is really more out there about him and he really is a bad person, then I would like to know. But if this is this incident and he was a drunk, dumbass young kid given way too much fame and, you know, power and whatever, too young and nobody there, and maybe somebody is, can help, you know, all that, then let the kid play. So from that side, not a lot of risk, a lot of reward. I mean, obviously the 2.5 or whatever years he played for, or year and a half he played for the Chiefs, he was a superstar. I think they probably win the Super Bowl, definitely beat the Patriots and at least go if he's there. So I think that's the difference he makes. Little bit of celebrity news. I'm going to do my celebrity news sounder. Conrad's probably going to get mad about this because of the sound we found today. Probably going to get some use going forth. But because it was my topic, it was me admitting I had a sexual thing toward her and me finding it, I'm going to use it. So here's my celebrity sounder. You got a little taste of it earlier when I accidentally played it. Here's the other thing about MSN. It's ever-changing. It's ever-evolving. And if you are doing a show on it and say you did any prep and say you wanted to, I don't know, write down topics but maybe not bookmark the stories, say you were in a hurry or you were doing some of it while you were driving or, you know, whatever, they make it harder on you because you write down topics and they disappear. So that's kind of what we're experiencing tonight. Celebrity news, I kind of talked about it in the intro. This weekend was the Grammys. I literally watched nothing on it. I'm even behind as far as ETV goes. That would have been Monday night, tonight, but I haven't caught up on my ETV news because, one, my break from reality, two, got home from work, got shot down by the boy for doing the show, did my little runny worky outy and show prep, and I'm out here. So the Grammys was this weekend. Welcome back to the music's biggest night of 19. What did this year's Grammys deliver? It was a mixed bag of performances and was missing some of the biggest nominees, including Kendrick Lamar, Drake, and Childish Gambino, who all decided to take the stage, but elsewhere. in protest or whatever of all the crap that was going on. So some of the biggest stories that I kind of seen on it were Michelle Obama at the Grammys. She made a surprise performance, and I think that kind of, you know, threw everybody off. Oh, what's Michelle Obama doing there? And then there was a, which it just took the story away from me. I keep clicking on it. I had it up earlier, but there was a Build the Wall gown that got quite a bit of buzz. So that caused a little bit of drama. Somebody, there was a big stink about this Kacey Musgraves winning, you know, awards. Basically, it says, you know, if you just turned in and didn't know anything about music, you would think she's the biggest deal. I don't know who she is. Apparently, she won a bunch of awards. Congratulations. Cardi B was emotional after winning an award. Drake was throwing shade. Stealing the show was a 9-year-old kid of Diana Ross. I think Kardashian was there, so obviously we shouldn't have been, and maybe everybody that boycotted it was absolutely right for doing it. A bunch of people were hating on J-Lo's performance. I don't know how you could hate on anything J-Lo does. Me and Conrad had the talk on this. He said he's completely over her. I don't know how you could be over J-Lo. She, even at her later developed stage, seems to be holding together well. I know that's mainly through, you know, working out, great health, plastic surgery, lots of doctors, nutritionists, pills, great makeup artists, all that. But I mean, I don't care. What all those things combined, wonderful. Date night, apparently there's some weird stuff with Kylie Jenner and Travis Scott, who left their 1-year-old daughter Stormy at home to enjoy the date night. They deserve it. They deserve it. You know, they work real hard. She goes out and takes her pictures and does all that, and he makes his art, music, flies in on flying stars. Actually, he does. I like some of his stuff, but I don't really care for him. Most of stuff he says outside of his music, I don't care about. Bad effects on the Super Bowl with Travis Scott showing up in a lightning bolt or whatever that was. Faking it. I think Cardi B got busted. You know, lip singing, and everybody knew it. I think everybody should know everybody lip syncs at that. If they're dancing, if their sounds good, if all that's going on and they're doing all that, most likely they're lip singing. If it doesn't have loud music behind it, rock concerts, you know they're not, because most of the time it doesn't sound the same. Sometimes it sounds great, not like it does on the album. Sounds great. But it's, you know, you can always tell when it's live or lip sync. So if it's great and clear and all that, obviously, lip sync. I'm clicking things in the background on accident, so I don't know if I messed anything up. Red carpet winner. I don't care about the Grammys. I love Michelle Obama. I think she's a beautiful lady. I'm glad she was there with a whole bunch of black women for Black History Month. Ariana Grande's hot. She was there. Something about her. A lot of people were absent, so that's the Grammy news. Nobody really cares. Some people do. Some people take that stuff completely serious. I don't know. I think there was, you know, a bunch of people mad. I don't know if they were missing this because of the Colin Kaepernick thing or the heart thing or, you know, what thing this was. I don't know what they're protesting exactly because I didn't do the research. I'm a bad news guy in that sense. But we talked about the Grammys. Meghan Merkel's heartbreaking letter to her father is revealed. Prince Harry reveals his biggest concern about becoming a father. That was our celebrity news on the royal couple. I ain't going to read the stories. I do like to stare at Meghan Merkel. She still looks pretty hot, pregnant. Probably going to get ruined. I don't know. I'm torn on that. I think if you've followed this show, you know I have a thing for her. Since her suits days back in the day, you know, and as far as royals go, I don't mind her being the royal. if they're going to talk about, I get to stare at, but I am pretty much over the news about her. So that was our little section on celebrities. I don't even know I'm going to do more celebrity stuff. I'm still going to do my celebrity sounder. Jay and Silent Bob's Kevin Smith feels wonderful after 58-pound weight loss. A lot of that probably due to his congestive heart failure or massive heart attack. Continuing on his weight loss journey, Jay and Silent Bob star Kevin Smith is speaking out, which is funny because he was the silent character, about his healthy lifestyle 1 year after suffering a massive heart attack. I started at 265, and I'm now 198. So what is that, 58 at this point? The WW, former known Weight Watcher ambassador, Weight Watcher, the 48, shares with his exclusive story with Us Weekly. I honestly never thought I'd even get down to 200. Being under is so crazy town. Does he really talk like that? I mean, I've watched a bunch of his stuff. And I don't know if I mean, maybe he did. This is crazy town. I guess the director who announced that he had dropped 51 in August said that while he feels wonderful, shedding the pounds was more of a health than an appearance thing. I just want to stress those out there who care. It was never about dropping the weight. I wasn't sitting there like, I want to look good. It was about getting this out of my system. The filmmakers' biggest wake-up call came after he nearly died after a comedy show in February of 2018. After the first show this evening, I had a massive heart attack. He captured on a Twitter photo of himself by a hospital bed on February 26th. The doctor who saved my life told me I had 100% blockage in my LAD artery, he wrote. I had to cancel shows. He apologized for that. So he continued. Basically, it's a Weight Watchers thing. You know, I think he started out losing the weight. Weight Watchers cut on, jumped on with him, said, hey, we'll give you food, pimp us. So now Jay and Silent Bob do Weight Watchers. Not a lot, that doesn't involve The Wall, that doesn't involve the Grammys. I got Katherine Heigl sucking it in for a bikini pic. Never been a big fan of Katherine Heigl. I think that kind of is common, through Hollywood. I think a lot of people that say they've worked with her, not big fan, but I hate these photos. Like, this is the thing about being famous I would never want. This is the thing with Katherine Heigl I sympathize with. I don't know if she was one of those people early on that wanted, you know, to get fame, you want the pictures. After you get fame, you want left alone. But, like, she just wants to lay here in a bikini. Maybe she did put on a couple pounds after the whatever. I hate Hollywood. I love the movies you put out sometimes, but I hate that, and I hate that I just did a story about it, but I have to. I don't know if you follow, Conrad talked a little bit about it, Bezos in the news. It's kind of happened since last Monday paper, since last show. Basically the trashy, I don't even know what one is, Inquirer, one of them, was trying to blackmail Bezos. He came out and just spilled his own beans. So that was always good. This story is the house where Jeff Bezos founded Amazon is on sale for a bargain price. The house where Jeff Bezos founded Amazon in Bellevue, Washington is for sale. It was previously spotted by GeekWire. According to Zillow, the 1,540 square foot home is located 10704 Northeast 28th Street is listed for nearly $1.5 million. It features three bedrooms, 1.75 baths, is that just a sink in one of the rooms, and a hot tub on the back porch. It was sold in 2009 for $620,000. This is one of those cases where I believe simply because Mr. Bezos lived in the house, the asking price is being over-evaluated. I don't believe that they've made any significant additions to the house since it was purchased. I believe the fact that Mr. Bezos has, or Jeff, or I don't know how you want to say that. I was telling Conrad a hilarious story. As this was all breaking, I was not in my check out of reality world yet, and I was watching MSN or CNN or one of them, and when they first broke the story, the particular anchor, I don't want to give his name out because I don't want to embarrass the gentleman, kept calling him Mr. Bezos. Mr. Bezos, Mr. Bezos. And then another guy comes on, and I think he knows how it's pronounced or how everybody else in the world pronounces it, but all of a sudden, because this particular anchor was calling him Bezos, started calling him Bezos. So then they have a longtime guy that's been covering him from, the early, apparently since he was living in this house where he founded Amazon and got his first fame. And he said, well, Mr. Bezos, in all of the stories I've done, and he calls him Bezos, and these guys both take a 180, and all of a sudden they're both calling him Bezos, like it never happened. Somebody needed to stop right then. They should take phone calls. They should have allowed my phone call. I was calling. I was pissed. And just, like, can we just apologize? And we apologize for all the other mistakes we make, for, Brian Williams saying he was in a helicopter that got shot down when he wasn't, all these other atrocities. Can somebody apologize when we get names that are, of one of the richest people in the world wrong, So it's Bezos. I don't care what you say. That's what it is. So this is one of the cases where I believe simply because the man is worth a lot of money, they think his house is. I'm not one of those people. I mean, I might want, give me Daryl Strawberry's old jockstrap or Scottie Pippen's mouthpiece, Horace Grant goggles, I'll freak out. Give me a Leon Lett left sock, Russell Maryland, like those little arm pads that only cover like part of your shoulder and your forearm. Give me an Emmett Smith thigh pad. I'm into that stuff, but I'm not one of those guys, like maybe Elvis's house, if somehow, only because I want to do a TV show and I want to use Elvis's house. But other than that, I'm not one of those people that really care about where somebody grew up or, where somebody founded it, especially Amazon, So that, I don't think it's going to sell for it, but I guess we'll see. Try to find another story before we go out. Again, kind of everything on MSN right now is a bunch of food stuff. I'm still doing this diet thing. Doing good still since the weight, the weigh-in. I've kind of up and, not never up, but kind of up and down losing weight still. I'm still slowly losing. Lately, my diet has not stayed consistent, so I've had to either work out more or like skip meals or whatever. I've been going back to eating some of the Little Debbie's and the late night snacking. So I'm trying to stay away from that, but I'm back into that phase where French fries are looking good. They didn't look good for a while. All this stuff's looking good again. I got myself convinced through my weight loss that I didn't like any of these foods that I craved, and it became easier. I convinced myself that pistachios are the greatest thing only to eat, in between meals. No chips, no none of that. Lately, I've kind of convinced myself otherwise. So I'm trying to make up for it. I at least got myself to a good weight where I'm kind of maintainable. So even if I do eat kind of crappy, if I keep at least staying active, But I want to get this summer bod on. I kind of wanted a summer bod for our Vegas trip coming up in just really a little over 2 weeks, February 28th through March 3rd. Wanted, I just have this weird, premonition of, I don't know, something happening, two dudes come running by. Me and E, shirts off, jogging, and E says, oh, they can't do that to us. And he rips his shirt off, and then I rip mine off. And, you know, our bodies are both just, you know, of course, we both just shaved before the trip. So we're clean shaven bodied. And it's just me and E chasing these two dudes down through Vegas on the strip with our shirts off. And then it turns into like, we pass them and they kind of join us. And then like two more dudes like, oh, they can't do that. And they, you know, all of a sudden we've got like this Forrest Gump, wagon of shirtless, I don't know, mid to later 30s or mid 30s to later 40s, gentlemen that are, you know, think they're in shape with their shirts off running through Vegas. Just, I don't know. That's one of my dreams. I know it's just me. But I kind of have that dream coming. So I do need to, for the next 2 weeks, maybe get back into focus. 11 things you didn't know about Doritos. They were invented at Disneyland. Legend has it. We have Mickey Mouse to thank for the crispy treats, according to Business Insider. Doritos' parent company, Frito-Lay, operated a restaurant named Casa de Fritos inside the park in the 1960s when a salesman from Casa de Fritos, throwing away stale tortillas, he suggested to fry them for chips instead. When marketing execs saw this, he loved the idea and convinced Frito-Lay to start selling the chip in 1966. So the frozen head thing, Jew secrets, and whatever else Disney did, we have to thank for Doritos. Add that to the list. Doritos means little gold things in Spanish. So I get now, when I was in Playa del Carmel or wherever I was, Riviera Maya, when we stayed at the resort in Mexico, when I kept asking for Doritos, the guy kept pointing to the ocean, and you could see the top of, like, I'm guessing it was a, you know, like the bowel of a ship or whatever, the thing where the, you know, the guy would stand and spot stuff, or where the flag would be, pointed out there. And I think he, you know, treasure wreck. And I think he thought I was going to go get, the little gold dinghies. But I really just wanted delicious nacho cheese flavored, stale tortillas. The first Doritos weren't flavored, which that goes back to our story where, you know, you fried the tortillas. They were just fried tortilla chips, which is also, you know, still a great idea. Nacho cheese Doritos are almost 50 years old. That was another story I had written down. I may try to find that one. Celebrities turning 50 in 2019. So they'll add that. That's celebrities turning 50 in 2019 that I would do. That's what I was going to turn the story was. It was just a story, celebrities turning 50, but I was going to do would you do or not. A Doritos, I would do. There were some wild flavors, 100 different flavors over the years that range from spicy nacho, cool ranch, wacky flavors like late night cheeseburger, Jack dipped hot wings, Mountain Dew, flavored yogurt, mint were some of the ideas. I don't remember none of those clam chowder flavored Doritos. So I don't know if we missed out on a lot of those. I would try the mint ones. That don't sound very good, but I'd do that. That might be something I write down. New Doritos flavors for the Conrad and Jack show. So text me that or tweet me your new Doritos flavors and your TV show ideas. You won't find Cool Ranch Doritos abroad. Apparently they don't sell them anywhere outside of America, because apparently it's not cool to do ranch outside of here. They've had a major makeover. They've had a bunch of different bags, and they put a bunch of money into their new bags. Super Bowl's a big deal. They always do a ton of commercials for that. Their ads have been to space. Apparently they sent something aboard one of the space stations, an ad and some chips. Chips have also been to the grave. Apparently a guy that was addicted to Doritos requested that he was buried with Doritos. So they sprinkled Doritos into his urine before burial. I didn't know you buried a urine. I didn't know you urinal. See, buried a urine. Okay. And Doritos can help with a campfire. Get your campfire or campsite and realize you didn't bring kindling. Just pull out your bag of Doritos. Doritos are high in oil and carb content, which catches flame quickly, easily making chips solid kindling option when you're in a pinch. Probably not a good thing to ingest to your body if they make a good kindling. That's just me, and I'm just saying. This was Monday Papers. Going to be a short episode. I did my best. You know, I come in here, I give 110% every time, every day. I hope it was enough for you guys. If it wasn't, I don't really care. No. Thanks for coming. Thanks for listening. Thanks for doing some stories. I had mentioned something about the celebrities over 50, but I can't find it. My MSN fell apart on me. I tried to provide some stories for you. I tried to provide a solid basis for your Tuesday. Thanks, guys.
Guess that theme song. Wednesday, Conrad Jack, 9 p.m. Central, Mixler.com/FalconFM, Facebook. You can find us anywhere. I'll send you a link through Monday Morning Papers. Just friend me. I'll do anything. I just want friends. I need somebody to do the next show with. Obviously, I can't get nobody here. Help me get a celebrity guest host. Monday Morning Papers out.